All right, injuries today. Khalif Barnes right now is listed as questionable. He was limited today. And Vincent Brown did not practice today. He's out. Derek Carr was full today. He's probable. Keith McGill did not practice. He's out. C.O. Moore was full today. He's probable. Marcel Reese was limited today. He's questionable. Justin Tuck was limited today. He's questionable. Usama Young was full today, probable. And Benson Maioa was full today, and he's probable.
You're optimistic about Reese and Tuck?
Based on what I've seen today, okay, watching them out there today, I mean, I thought they did some good things. You know, I'd be curious to see what happens tomorrow when they get in here, but, you know, we'll play that one by ear, but cautiously optimistic.
You said that Tuck didn't need a lot of work to be able to play. Is Marcel in that same boat as well?
Yeah, Marcel's a really smart player, intelligent player. You know, he doesn't need that kind of work, you know, to have to go out there and to play. You know, ideally, obviously, you'd like all those guys to be out there getting the practice time, but this happens during the course of the season. You know, you got to make sure that you're smart with it and handle it the right way, and that's the way that I chose to handle it.
If Tuck can't go, would it be C.J. Wilson in that spot? Or?
If Justin can't go, it'd be by committee, but C.J. would start, yeah.
He's got a team-high 2 sacks this year. What's your impressions of C.J.?
Honestly, I mean, C.J.'s done a good job, you know, all the way through right now since training camp, you know, and having to block him every day and do those type of things. I mean, he's a heavy, thick player, you know, and he comes with a lot of power. So he can really push the pocket. He does a good job in rundowns, and he has given us, by pushing the pocket, you know, because he plays with a high motor, the ability to get around the quarterback. So he did it in preseason in some games, and he did it, you know, certainly has done it right now. So I've been pleased with what CJ has done.
Is there one factor above the rest, do you think, that would indicate why you're having issues on third down defense?
One factor above the rest. Honestly, I mean, I really think that a large part of third down has to do with, you know, with challenge. I can't tell you one factor, okay, but I'll answer your question. Large part of third down, you know, to me has an awful lot to do with challenging the football, number one, and number two, you know, is affecting the passer enough, not necessarily sacking him, but affecting him so that he's not comfortable and getting him off of his spot in those situations. So, you know, and then, of course, there's what is the down and distance? You know, have you been playing well enough, okay, to keep them in longs, or are they in really shorts? You know, and the really shorts are a little bit easier to convert on. Obviously, they give you, you can run the ball, you can throw the ball, so it's a little less predictable. So I would say that those, you know, those areas right now are the areas that we've been spending an awful lot of time on right now. You know, just coming off of the practice field now, challenging the football. I mean, on a Friday, you know, these guys were out flying around challenging the ball. I was pleased to see that today.
Is that stat, the 51.4 conversion rate, one of the sore thumb stat, you think?
Yeah. I mean, I would say to you that any time a team is converting, you know, that high against you, I mean, and we all know it, you know, it's not a knock on my defense right now. It's not a knock on anything else. I mean, the fact is what the fact is. You know, at the end of the year, if a team finishes, you know, on offense at 51-point-something%, they're going to be the top two or three in the league, you know, in that category. So, you know, defensively, I mean, you know, we can't be up there like that. That number has to continue to come down. Now, we got a lot of time, you know, we have time to get it down, okay? But it's got to start this week. We can't let this team stay out there on the field and, you know, on the other side, you know, I mean, obviously we have to keep our defense off the field so that they're not playing as many of those situations as they need to.
Is there something mental about third down defense when you guys haven't been doing very well that maybe there can be a psychological lull that you might have to cover?
No, not really. I mean, it's not a mental thing or anything like that. I mean, our guys compete hard on third down. It's just been one of those situations where we face some pretty darn good players, you know, right now on third down. When I say that, I mean, you got to give credit to your opponent, and you're looking at a couple of quarterbacks that we've played that have been pretty good, you know, and we're playing another one this week that's darn good. So that being said, you know, we just have to do a better job and more concentration and more focus in that area, you know, of getting off the field on third down. Now, every once in a while, somebody on third down's got to step up and be a hero, okay? And, you know, you got to step in there and you got to make a play, okay, when your team needs you to make that play. And, you know, it can be anybody out there in that situation. It only takes one, and all of a sudden, you know, you get a pretty good situation going. I mean, there's a game a couple games back where we really did a heck of a job on third down, you know, and it was just because one or two guys made plays early in that situation.
How Watson played last week, does it have any impact on whether you would rush Barnes back after missing basically 2 weeks, or how does his play impact your decision to right tackle?
Well, I mean, of course, you know, no, to answer your question, but it wouldn't affect my decision on what to do with Khalif. I'm going to do what's in the best interest, you know, of Khalif Barnes from a physical standpoint right now, you know. But that being said, you know, with what Menelik did in the last game and what he did against Miami when he had to come into that football game, I mean, it certainly makes you feel a little bit more comfortable in that scenario, you know, than prior to that. So, you know, he's done a good job that way. You know, he's going to have a hard challenge this week. We need, you know, one thing with young, with any player, okay, but particularly with young players is, you know, you don't want to see that roller coaster. You want to see some form of a consistent level so that you know what you're getting at the game, okay? Well, with Menelik, he hasn't played in a lot of football games, so, you know, what I've seen so far of him at the game, I've liked. But, you know, there's a lot more football to be played here, and you just want to know what you're going to get at the game. Right now, I know what Donald Penn's going to do at the game. I know what Wisniewski might do at the game, or, you know, what Antonio Smith might do at the game. You know, with a young player, sometimes they can get on that roller coaster, and, you know, consistency is going to be the key for him.
Seemed like you were leaning towards not using DJ this weekend. Have you made a decision on him?
I haven't made a decision yet. We're going to talk it over as a coach and staff here, you know, but DJ was out there again, did a little bit more today, you know, so every day is a good day. And as I said to you guys, and you know, I don't want to keep repeating it, but it is a fact, you know, that in this situation for a guy like DJ, it's important for him to walk off the field feeling like he had success today. And it's also important to play himself into shape a little. So, you know, he's been, you know, very much involved in what we're doing from a defensive standpoint, but also getting some scout team work, you know, so that, you know, we can prepare him that way, you know, and make sure that he's getting, you know, getting enough reps, because there's not enough reps to go around.
When you look at tape of Khalil Mack, he doesn't have a sack, but it seems like he's getting a lot of pressure. He's playing the run pretty well. Are you seeing a productive player there and increasingly?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'm glad you asked it because, you know, some people measure, and I've been through this before, you know, I've been through this before with guys like Jason Taylor, okay, and these type of players, you know, DeMarcus Ware, I've seen it before when, you know, what I mean by that is just, you know, they're sackers by nature. They've done this, and all of a sudden you go through a string where maybe they don't have a sack, you know, and you're and naturally people think, well, you're not, you know, that guy doesn't have a sack, so, I mean, how good is he playing, you know? And when you really watch the film and you sit down and you look at the film and you see how much this guy affects people, how they attack him, how many people are involved in attacking him, okay, and what he does on every single play, you know, and how much chaos he causes out there, you really understand how good the kid is playing right now and how good he can become. You know, he's just getting better and better every single week. I know when I watch the film, okay, if I take this hat and turn it the other way right now, okay, and I go to the other position that I coach, I don't want to block the guy, okay, when I'm watching him. So I have – that's a hard job based on the film that I've watched, okay, of blocking him.
He is getting a lot of double teams. He got one last week where one guy hit him, then a second guy came and crushed him.
Yeah.
Then the next play, he made a play.
Yeah, and you know, he's a resilient guy that way, and he really learns fast, you know. And that's something that, you know, again, I've been part of with a lot of good rushers, you know, and been fortunate to be around some really good rushers that, you know, in their younger years, you know, like even a – I mean, a guy like Cameron Wake, for example, not an old player, but I got Cameron when he first came into the league. So as he started to see things week by week, you know, you can all of a sudden see him emerge a little bit more, you know. And with Khalil, that's happening right now. You know, he's starting to see things even play by play. You know, he'll see a double team, and all of a sudden that double team will come back to him again during the course of the game, and he understands it and sees it and reacts to it completely different than he might have did the first time. So he's not a guy that, you know, he doesn't have to get hit in the face with a skunk 10 times to know it's a skunk. I mean, he kind of sees it, and he's in pretty good shape there.
Last week you and Ole were pretty high on Kimball Tompkins. Do you think he'll be in the mix this weekend?
I would say that, you know, he's going to play this weekend.